Hey everyone, welcome to the Get Real Podcast. We're so excited that you're with us. Each and every week, we're going to open up God's Word. We're going to have some discussion around what it means to live an intentional life. So let's listen in as we try to get real together.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Get Real Podcast. My name is Brandon Ginden, and I am the senior pastor at Real Life Ministries Texas. And I am here with my ministry friend and partner, Lori Arnold.
Hey y'all.
And we are so grateful to have you joining us here on this podcast. And we are launching a new series here on the podcast. And it's one that is very near and dear to, I think, to both of us. And maybe a topic that for years has had all kinds of confusion or misunderstanding. And we would think of it as maybe being something very simple, but the complexity is incredible. And that series that we're starting right now is on the church, being the church. And what that word that is known in most any culture, the church, is understanding that and the implications that it has in our lives. And so we're launching this new series and excited to have you all joining us. And Lori and I are going to be talking about what it looks like in our lives and how the church affects us, impacts us, and is being a part of the church as Christians, as followers of Jesus, but also misconceptions and how in society today the word church has been taken and redefined. And really, I mean, Lori, that's kind of what I think the enemy does.
Yeah.
The devil takes words that are God's words and from his word and reshapes them, molds them, changes the definition, twists them. And then we kind of, society buys into those terms and we get off track.
Yeah.
And I don't know of probably any other word that is in the Bible that is more that's been done to than the word church. Maybe the word love is pretty screwed up now, but the church has definitely been redefined and changed. And so we're going to be talking about that over the next few podcasts. And again, excited for you to join us. If you are new with us, I just want to encourage you to follow our podcast, to share it with your friends, post it in social media, every bit that you can do and sharing that with your friends. If you're benefiting from this, helps our podcast grow. And we appreciate the feedback. I mean, Lori, we've had people from all over reach out to us. And I just got back from Ethiopia.
Yeah.
speaking of the church and seeing it in action back in Ethiopia. And it was crazy to me. I had pastors come up to me and say, "Hey, I listened to your podcast," and or ask me for the link to the podcast. And so it's just strange to me to be on the other side of the globe.
Yeah, it's awesome.
In today's world and be talking with somebody and they're familiar with our podcast. Yeah. So that's pretty cool. Well, I'm going to start us by reading a passage today. Because we do want to go to God's word, where the word church is used, and Jesus uses this term, and then Lori will kind of talk about it. But we find it in Matthew chapter 16. It's when Peter confesses Christ, confesses Jesus as the Christ, and then Jesus uses that term church. And so to give it a little bit of context, and Jesus has taken his disciples to Caesarea Philippi, and he asks them this important question, who do the people say that I am? And in verse 14, it says that some say you're John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And then Jesus says, but who do you say that I am? And it's the famous answer that we know is Peter responds, and he says, you're the Christ. And Jesus tells him, you're right, that flesh and blood had not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That concept, that word church, we know in the Greek, the ekklesia, is defined as the called out ones, those that have been called out in Jesus's name. It's his people. And the context is really, it's an adjective. It's a descriptive word. Jesus is saying that my group of people, this ecclesia, those that have been called out, that's what he's going to build. And on this foundation that he is the Christ, And so Lori, you know, let's jump into this kind of and discuss it of, you know, throughout history and even today, the definition of this term, you mm-hmm. know, if you ask somebody, what is the church, they'll typically describe a brick and mortar building.
Right.
And so maybe share with our listeners, like, maybe how has your view and perspective of the church changed?
Yeah.
Kind of your thoughts on this passage. I want to hear from you.
Yeah. So for many people, I've found that the church is, or going to church, going to a physical location, like you just said, a brick and mortar building. It's something that you do. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's a checkbox. It's one of the things that you do. And culturally speaking, it's, even if you're not necessarily actively involved in a church, you're not in small groups or things like that are offered. I can name countless friends that I know, people that I know that go to church and say mm-hmm. they're a part of a church,
yeah.
but, it's not, it really stops there. It stops Sunday mornings.
Yeah.
And so, I am blessed to say that I have experienced being a part of a church where we were truly being the church and in relationship with one another and with others. And we shared a common goal in doing God's work and, making sure that the church really was, I feel like that a lot of it just goes outside of the walls of the church. Like
right.
the most important part to me, mm-hmm. Oftentimes is outside the walls of the actual church.
Right.
And so when I say actual, I mean the brick and mortar building. So, I was writing a little bit this morning, actually preparing for this. And, I wrote, what has changed as I grow closer with the Lord, as I realize how common it is just to check that box. Mm. And not only that, but the checkbox doesn't even matter anymore.
Yeah.
And so that's why being the church outside the walls of the church is the most important thing, because it's typically the doorway that people walk through before ever stepping foot into a church building.
Mm.
And so we have a responsibility as Christ followers, as his disciples, to be the church outside of these walls, because a lot of times now people aren't just walking into the church.
Right.
People want nothing to do with it a lot of times because right. of whether it's past experiences and church hurt or whatever that may look like, failed, you know, expectations. So there's so many definitions I believe that people have. So I'm glad that you read directly from God's word.
Yeah.
What the church is, it is the called out ones, and mm-hmm. we are his people, and we've got work to do, and it doesn't stop here.
Right. And I think to that point of work to do, redefining what people know and understand the term to be.
Yeah.
There's a couple things that you said that the kind of the outside, the people going outside of the building itself versus the church being something that you go to. And I want us to think about this, because I think this is really important in the definition. When Jesus says this, and I'll build my church, I'll build my called out ones, my group of people. And you think, why would he call it that or call this group of people if all it was to go attend something? Like there's no, like to just gather together. For what purpose? There is purpose behind what he's saying. In fact, he says that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So the gate is protecting some city in this picture, and kind of an evil fortress, if you will, the city of the devil, and we're supposed to storm the gate. So there is an implied mission that has been given. So this group of people, the ecclesia, are given a mission to go do.
Yeah.
Without the mission to go do, then we can just gather. We just come together. And right. for what purpose? And you think, and that is exactly what the church has turned into. And, you know, when I was in Ethiopia, I was having this conversation with some pastors, and I've heard this term in many different countries I've been in, training and working with leaders, that our church is a mile wide and an inch deep. Well, if you unpack that thought, why would people be a mile wide? So that what they're saying is they're very shallow in their faith.
Yeah.
Well, of course they'd be shallow in their faith if all they ever do is just go and attend on a Sunday morning, a couple hours a week. Well, if you're in Ethiopia, 4 hours a service, right? They're long. Whew, very different than here. This is funny. This sort of pastor said to me, I preached a sermon, okay? and I went 45 minutes, which is really long for me, right?
Yeah.
With translation, it was almost an hour and a half.
Yeah.
I get done, and the senior pastor of that church comes up to me and goes, you have to get back up there. I'm like, what do you mean I got to get back up there? He goes, you only gave the dessert. Where's the main course? It was too short. I literally had to get back up there and keep preaching. Like, that is crazy. Anyway, I digress. So it's very different. But still, they were saying they're a mile wide and an inch deep. Why? Because the church has adopted an idea, I think, in many places of the globe, is that church is something I go to and go attend.
Yeah.
I sit, I sing some songs, I might take communion, I hear a sermon. None of those things are wrong or bad.
Right.
But if the church has lost what its mission is, to go storm the gates of hell, that we're given a purpose, which is what you're talking mm-hmm. about, that it goes outside of the walls, we gather together. My friend Jim Putman says Sunday morning is like the locker room chat. We all come together, get fired up, and then the rest of the week is hit the field and go be on mission.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
I agree with that. I agree with what he's saying. And that's exactly what I was talking about. It's, there's so many people right now that I know personally, even, and it grieves me. Cause I know it grieves the spirit that it is such a checkbox of, you know, just something that we do on Sunday morning, and even like zero change in lifestyle, zero change. Wouldn't even know. You know, even growing up, I think about it. I remember it came so easy. I would just ask people, just upon meeting, and I don't do this anymore because times have changed so much, but I remember it was one of the first questions I would ask somebody, what church do you go to? And I sincerely meant it, because sure. I knew that they were going to answer me and say what church they went to.
Sure.
But now it's not like that. So it's even harder. And that's what I was talking about. It's even harder to get people in the church. You know, they're not just walking in because it's an obligation or something they're supposed to do or that their parents made them do. You know, it's very different now. And so we have to be the church outside of these walls every single day and be on mission with Christ and in building his kingdom.
Sure.
You know, and so that's why we can't, you know, that we sang it a while back, but hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. You know, right. We have to shine his light. We have to be the light. We have to be the church everywhere we go. And practically speaking, you know, that can happen in the stands of a football game. That can happen anywhere you go, in the grocery store, striking up conversation. So it's not just going to church and hearing the word and the things that you already mentioned that are very good things to do. And right. Yeah, it's important that we do that. But it's also doing the work on our own outside of the pastor reading to us and talking to us.
Right.
You know, what are we learning and reading on our own? Who are we sharing life with? How are we growing? Because there's no growth if we just leave everything in the building.
Right.
You know, so we've got to get out there. We've got to get on the field. And as you said, it's a mission field, mm-hmm. you know, and there's a real war going on.
Right.
And in order to, it goes back to the last series that we just did, you know, in order to fight this war, in order to win the battle, we've got to be armored up,
right?
You know? Right. So if you haven't listened to that, by the way, please go back and do so, because we talk about these practical things that are necessary when we're facing opposition. And that's a lot of what's happening right now with the church.
Right. I think a part of that is what you're describing. And this is to me to get kind of the brass tacks of today's podcast is the difference is when Jesus is talking to his disciples here, specifically to Peter, he is making a point that his church, it's a description of a group of people. It's who they are.
Yeah.
And the error that we've made, if we've kind of separated this out and redefined it, is that church is something I go to.
Right.
It's something I go and attend. It's versus, you know, this is my DNA. This is who I am as a culture of people. A disciple of Jesus is a person, you know, we describe that as following Christ, as being changed by Christ, on mission with Christ. Yeah. And when we look at our lives to ask that question, am I being a disciple? Well, being a disciple is, if they put two or three of us together, we are the church.
Yeah.
It's a description of who we are. So then therefore we're going out on a mission. That is very different than a group of people that would call themselves, I am a Christian mm-hmm. by name. Mm-hmm. And my description is I go and attend this service on Sunday.
Yeah.
And if I'm very spiritual, I listened to Christian music and I read my Bible or a devotional or something. And that's to the extent.
Yeah.
And again, if I'm trying to put it down, I'm just trying to acknowledge and say, this is reality. And until people that claim Christ as their Lord and Savior go, we've got to change this.
Yeah.
The church is to be on a mission of going and accomplishing the Great Commission. Anything less than that is we're not fulfilling what Jesus said, you're my church and you're going to go storm the gates of hell.
Yeah.
And so how do you think people, if people are listening to this and they want to make some of those changes in their life, they want to go, man, I've just kind of treated church as just something I go to. I'm not really, that's kind of what I've done. What would you say that those friends, the people that you kind of described that you know, what would be a step in the right direction? What could they do?
Yeah, the first thing that I'd even ask is why? What's your why? Mm. Why are you doing this? Because if you can't answer that, you'll know where you're at, first of all. So you've got to be aware of where you're at. You know, why are you in the Word? Why are you doing the devotional? Why do you go to church on Sunday morning? And once you are able to answer that question, you can identify what really needs to change, you know, because if you don't have an answer for why you're doing it, that's a problem in and of itself. That's, you know, good, you're Lord. Just doing it to do it. You're doing it out of whether it's obligation or because of tradition, you know, and that's not what God wants.
Right.
That is for not sure. what God wants. So I would first ask that question, why? And then, you know, we say it a lot, but you've got to get in relationship with others. You've got to find somebody, ask the question, look around you, you know, see who is living it out.
Right.
Somebody that, and I'm pretty sure like there's somebody hopefully that will come to your mind that, you know, right when you think about them, like you know, there's not even a question in your mind that they're following Christ, that they're walking with him.
Yeah.
Because it should be evident in the way that they live. Like, people should know that I'm a believer by the way that I live and by the way that I speak and by the things that I do. And if not, then there's another problem. You know, people should know when they look at me and when they look at us, we should look different. So get in a relationship with somebody who is walking it out and living life and being the church. And so sometimes it takes stepping out your comfort zone and asking the question, hey, will you disciple me?
Yeah.
You know, and can we start meeting, you know, once a week or once every 2 weeks just to check in with one another? Cause I need help.
Yeah.
I mean, we've just got to be honest with ourselves. And cause there would be no growth if I did not share my life with others. I'm not going to be challenged. I'm not going to be held accountable. So we need those things in order to grow. We have to be in relationship with God's people.
That's really good. Yeah, I think that part about, you know, first is knowing your why. I think kind of that self-reflection and going, okay, I need to understand that and what, you know, what is the motivation behind what I'm doing? Is it my own personal agenda or am I on mission with what Jesus's mission is? Yeah. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Why am I spending time in my devotions? Why do I go to church on Sunday? What is the purpose of this?
Yeah.
And if there's anything less than growing to be more like Christ and on Christ's mission, then we're missing it. We're falling short. Everything will fall underneath that heading. That's being a disciple.
Right.
The second part of that, as you said, to go be in relationship. And we talk about that a lot, but that piece is critical. And what I want to encourage everybody to is if you're going to pursue being more missional, more part of the church, more walking out what it means to be the ecclesia, I promise you the Holy Spirit is going to help you.
Oh yeah.
Because that's what he empowers. That's the helper.
Yeah.
What do we need the helper for? To be more like Christ and be part of his mission. What is the counselor for? To counsel us in his word and counsel us in these direct, like, this is what the Spirit of God, this is his expertise
yes.
in helping us. And so I think us bringing our little offering and making the steps, the Lord is going to help you.
Absolutely.
And so I just want to encourage people in that. So that's really great. Any other kind of final thoughts too, as we wrap up today?
No, just find your people, step out your comfort zone. And if you're not actively involved in a church around you, in a local church, I encourage you to find one, to get plugged in and to get in a relationship with some Jesus loving gospel teaching people. Cause we've got to do this together.
Yeah. Oh, I formally invite anybody that's not connected, that's can make it to our church on Sunday. You're invited. Would love to have you part of what we're doing. Well, it's a great discussion. I think it's a good kickoff to this series.
Hey, thanks for joining us on the Get Real podcast today. My hope each and every week is that you're able to take the content, apply it to your life, that it becomes more of who you are and less of what you do, and that we live an intentional life together. If you're interested in supporting the work of ministry here at Real Life Texas, we'd like to invite you to do that by going to reallifetexas.org/give and supporting us today.